And a man, five straight games in the postseason with a home run, ruining the Cubs' morale. John Lazor, voice of the Hokies, our resident Hokie voice and Cubs fan. Cubs' morale's not high right now, my man, is it?
No, it's not, but it's also not exceptionally low. It's just, okay, we're the Cubs, and wait till next year.
You can't do that.
You've been doing it for 100 years, 107 years.
You just can't write it off like that after the moment against the Cardinals. And actually, let me ask you this. Baseball.
We had our moment. Now we're waiting till next year.
Professionally and personally, Cubs fan and baseball guy, what do you see different about this Cubs team? I don't know if they went young. I don't know if they enjoyed the moment too much against the Cardinals. They look like they've lost their mojo this series.
Yeah, and phenomenal pitching will do that to you, and I think that's what people are overlooking. And I saw an article a couple of months ago about how Theo Epstein went out and he went against the grain, and that's how the Cubs got great quickly, is because he targeted offensive prospects in deals. And a lot of teams, most teams, in fact, will target pitching prospects in deals, including the Mets. So you can see the differences in the way these teams are constructed. And right now, the top-line pitching for the Mets, just quite frankly, is better with a tiring Arrieta than the top-line pitching is for the Cubs. And that's how you win in the postseason. But look, this really doesn't have a whole lot to do with the Cubs. It has more to do with the Mets, because you're starting to see what a wonderful job they've done constructing this pitching staff that could be the dominant staff in the big leagues for the next 3 to 4 to 10 years. When you look at what they have in DeGrom and Syndergaard and Mats, and those are all guys that we saw in Richmond at one point or another, including Mats last year in the Eastern League Championship Series. And then, oh, by the way, you've got Harvey, who was the next big thing in baseball, and it looks like he's on his way back there. And you haven't even had Zach Wheeler, who, of course, was the Giants' number one prospect a couple of years ago. So you've got five ace-caliber pitchers on that staff, and that's generally going to carry you, and it's carrying the Mets right now, despite all the headlines going to Daniel Murphy and some of the other guys.
Yeah, you're right. And Nationals fans have every reason to be afraid for a very, very long time. And Mats will be the guy who tries to finish off the Cubs today, and that'll be a night game. Double dip of baseball, but let's switch to football. He's John Lazor. He's the voice of the Hokies. And he's brought to you every week by Cowan Gates. And I asked you how Cubs morale is. How's Hokies morale in Blacksburg?
Well, I think it's tempered a bit by the fact that you've got Michael Brewer back this week, so everybody's encouraged to see what the offense will look like with Michael back at the controls and seemingly throwing the ball as close to 100% as you'd like this short after that injury. So, you know, you talk about Brewer and you talk about that leadership presence, and I think that it has more to do with just his overall ability to be out there and be directing this team. So, yeah, you know, all the negativity and frustration and anger that comes with being under 500 both in conference and overall and losing to a rival in Miami and doing it in a fashion in which you felt like you outplayed the Hurricanes for much of that game but just didn't make the big plays and made too many negative ones. That's all there, but at the same time, you're waiting to say that the bottom has fallen out until this weekend, and I think a lot of people around here, including myself, for whatever reason, think the Hokies are going to beat Duke this weekend.
Let me start here with Brewer, though, because he is back in the saddle, as he said last night. He is the starter. We saw a little bit of him on Saturday. What does he bring back to this team, and then what concerns do you have about his first start after such a long layoff?
Well, the biggest concern, I'll start on the back end of your question there, Wes, is the fact that this retooled Duke front seven seems to really be able to get after the quarterback strategically, and I say that citing the statistic. They have 10.5 sacks on the year, and they have 10 players that have been involved in sacks, and that means that they're really bringing diverse pressure, and Michael Brewer is smart when it comes to taking a look at that pressure, reading defenses, and that's what he brings back to this team, is the ability to make better decisions, I think, and the ability to make more diverse decisions maybe than Brendan Motley did. But at the same time, he's not as mobile. He's not probably as durable as a bigger quarterback would be. And if the Blue Devils are able to get pressure, then you're going to start to be able to see whether or not Michael Brewer can take those hits or not. And I think that's going to be a concern until he takes a few. I know he took a couple shots from Miami in that fourth quarter, but to do that over the course of a game and see if you can still direct this team. So there's a lot of positivity, but there's a lot of hesitation when it comes to that with Michael Brewer, and that was the reason why he was held out an extra week plus due to that. So that's going to be an intrigue certainly going into this game.
I'm interested to see this week, because Duke's defense is so stout and so talented in different aspects. I'm interested to see how the Brewer-Motley plan works, like what the ratio is, because I know there's packages, and there's been packages in there all along from Motley. It's just been with Brewer out. He's been your go-to guy. Now I'm interested to see, and I'm wondering if it's more effective now that we know Motley can throw, because back then it was thought just here, you know, he's in the game, go run the ball. Now you have a little bit of a different element with him in there, And with this week trying to switch it up against Duke, I'm real curious to see what the ratio is.
Well, I think right off the bat it's going to be 100% Michael Brewer, to be honest with you. And if it's working, it's going to stay that way throughout the game. And you might get a sprinkling of Brendan Motley. But I don't think the Hokies want to engage in a quarterback tandem. I don't think they want to engage in shuffling quarterbacks in and out depending on what they're seeing. I think right now this is Michael Brewer's football team. And if he has success, it's going to stay that way.
You don't think we'll see more of a package of Motley just because of how stout that Duke defense is?
No, I think the game will dictate that, but I don't think it's going to be premeditated in the first quarter unless for whatever reason Brewer gets hit repeatedly in the beginning of this football game or you're having a tremendous difficulty moving the football.
And along those lines, when we're talking about moving the ball effectively, Trey McMillan is the real deal. And what was so aggravating, I guess, you know, on top of the list of aggravations from last week's loss against Miami, if you're watching that game, is they're moving the ball. I mean, he's moving the ball. He's been fantastic. The time that he's in there, the more carries, the better. But it's, you know, the turnovers that kept crushing this offense. What I want to see on Saturday against this run defense is how they line up, how they stack it up, and how McMillan does now going up against, I believe it's the number 4 defense in the country on the ground.
Yeah, that sounds about right, and tied for first overall, at least going into last weekend prior to their off week. And yeah, absolutely. I think there's a little bit of hesitation to give that level of respect to the Duke defense, not to say that you don't respect that defense, but at the same time, they haven't played a tremendous list of offensive powerfully teams. So I think you're going to go in and see what you can do and try to establish that run. But every week that passes, I think you have more and more confidence in Trayvon McMillan as a traditional feature back, and you definitely saw that in Miami. And I really thought that third quarter opening drive for the Hokies was the microcosm of that game, where Trayvon McMillan was having a lot of success in the run game. He also had some success with some quick hitting pass plays, and you were really marching down the field on the Hurricanes, and then Motley made a forced throw, an interception that really negated all that positivity. And a quarter in the third quarter where the Hokies dominated but actually gave up 3 points on the scoreboard to trail by 10. So yeah, I think you look back at the film, you see what Trayvon McMillan was able to do throughout that game, and you do more of it despite who you're going up against this week.
Yeah, well, you know what, with that said, going from last week to this week, the one thing against Duke, you can't make mistakes, because no matter who they've played, though, and this is not just this year, but this has been a David Cutcliffe theme at Duke, you can't make mistakes because they don't make a lot of them, and when you do, they make you pay for them.
Yeah, you know, and I said to Mike Burnup the other day, he said, this is a good time for a turnover. And I said, well, when isn't a good time for a turnover? And I'll say that against any team. What team, you know, you can't make mistakes against Miami. You turn the ball over 4 times and you lost a game you should have won. I understand your point, and I see what you're saying. But at the same time, you're not going into any game thinking that you can make mistakes. And that's just a consistent theme for this Hokies team, that they need to play 4 consistent quarters so that during the Monday press conference, we don't continue to hear about the 4 plays that they didn't make or the 6 plays that could have swung the game, and instead you're talking about the handful of plays that you did make to win the football game.
Yeah, but my point is it's more of along the lines of what Duke is, not what Virginia Tech hasn't been doing. But Duke, their one consistent under Cutcliffe is they're a smart team. They don't make a lot of penalties. They do not turn over the ball a whole lot. They're a very smart football team. We'll get more into Duke and Virginia Tech. Also, squeeze a little basketball in, because Laser was talking basketball the other night in the RVA. John Laser is brought to you by Callan Gates, personal injury, traffic violations, real estate, wills and trust. 11 attorneys on staff. Callan Gates there for you in any case.